you've seen a number of events strung together over the last couple of years. You know, this is it's Fort Hood, which was a number of years ago, but then it is San Bernardino, it's Orlando, and when you get three over a weekend, yeah, that's kind of unique. But this is a threat that we have faced on a regular basis, and we ought to anticipate things probably won't change for a while.
Paris, Brussels. Are there some similarities there? Are we seeing some type of cell activity? Or what is your intelligence, or the people who you know who are in the intelligence community, what are they saying?
I think the similarities are that these people, they're motivated or they're energized by what's coming out of ISIS propaganda. It's hard to pinpoint directly that they are being instructed by ISIS to attack today. But clearly they're getting their inspiration from ISIS.
The speed at which the FBI managed to apprehend this person, fairly impressive when you consider what was taking place.
Very, very impressive. And, it leads to some other questions that they say this, you got to watch language here. They said he was not known to us as a terror suspect. But was he known to law enforcement for another reason? This is, and I don't know all of this, the capabilities that this individual has, but a 28-year-old man from Afghanistan who maybe speaks the language of Afghanistan, fits into that community. Was he ever approached by law enforcement to perhaps cooperate and work with us? And when you listen to what they're saying, you really don't know. So he could have been known to law enforcement, but as somebody that maybe we tried to use, or maybe tried to get him to do some work for us, translations or those types of things. The kind of capabilities he has are very, very valuable to law enforcement. So it's not necessarily that unusual that someone like him may have been contacted by law enforcement. And when they saw the video the other night, some law enforcement person said, "Hey, wait a minute, I know that guy. We asked him to do something for us a few years ago or tried to see if he would help. The answer was no, but I know that guy."
What is the state of U.S. intelligence? How would you characterize the state of U.S. intelligence?
I think intelligence is still relatively good, although I think we've burned many of our bridges in the Middle East. When we worked with Mubarak in Egypt, you can pretty much know that Mubarak's intel folks were working with us. I'm not sure you can make that case today. In Libya, where I have a lot of personal experience, I can tell you that Libya's head of intelligence, who's a graduate of Michigan State at that time, cooperated very, very closely with the U.S., which gave us insights into all of Northern Africa. Well, we know that that's gone. So you got two things. The intelligence community is still good, but through some of the political decisions that we've made, some of their sources where they were getting information from, those have probably dried up.
This attack being in New York City and New Jersey, we're talking about major metropolitan areas. These are the places where terrorists would like to do as much damage as possible. How impactful is it that New York City or one of the boroughs was attacked as it was? And does this lay the groundwork for other terrorist activity?
The one thing that we've always seen is that terrorists, once they've been executed, they go back and they do lessons learned too. What did we learn? Where did we fail? How do we improve our network for the future? How do we improve so that maybe next time we're more successful? And I think what you'll also see is they'll do the lessons learned, but they'll also reach out to other places. St. Cloud, Minnesota, an hour and a half north of Minneapolis. I didn't know there was anything up there. But you see a terrorist attack. So, we're just going to have to be extra vigilant. We have more groups, more cells active in the United States today than at any time in our history.